is 2:06. Currently a pleasant Tuesday afternoon in Wausau. Currently partly cloudy and 34 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I am Chad Holmes, and this is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, glad you could join us. Heard on the top of the hour newscast, a lot of folks heading out of town, whether they're here, there, or anywhere. No travel really for me this week. Actually, one little bit of travel. Going to go across town on Thursday to Mom's for Thanksgiving. But my only travel really during the holiday weekend will be Saturday morning when I head to Eau Claire to broadcast a Wausau West hockey game at a tournament in Eau Claire and then return for basketball later on in the evening. But not really any kind of holiday weekend travel, I would say. But if you're out there, take your time. Get to your location safely, and thanks for spending a few minutes with us here between now and 4 p.m. on this Tuesday afternoon on the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And tomorrow we'll have a brand new show as well. And during the program tomorrow at 3:15, really looking forward to this. We're going to be talking to some student performers from area high schools that have been named to the Central Wisconsin Jerry Ensemble. It is from the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation. It's one of two premier vocal performance groups in the state representing the Jerry Awards program for musical theater excellence. Auditions for the Central Wisconsin Jerry Ensemble were held over the summer and drew more than 50 Wisconsin high school performers from Eau Claire to Eagle River. So, again, tomorrow we will be joined by one of the folks that is running the Jerry Ensemble and also a couple of the students as well. Hope you can join us for that tomorrow at 3:15 here on the program. Also, when I get done here, I'm heading over to Marathon Park. As I said, got our first high school hockey broadcast of the season on Saturday. And last season and again this season, the senior class parents of the Wausau West hockey team buying a sponsorship of an interview that I will do with one of the seniors during the first intermission of each of our broadcasts this year on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And that's one reason why I'm excited about tomorrow, a chance to talk to some of these theatrical performers, and also just very excited today. I'm going over to Marathon Park after practice, going to record the interviews with the Wausau West seniors, 9 senior players on the Wausau West hockey squad this year. And just wanted to say to start off the program, and Thanksgiving and Christmas I enjoy a lot, but it's actually the days after Thanksgiving and Christmas I really enjoy, because after Thanksgiving, there's always these holiday basketball and hockey tournaments, always a very busy weekend. In fact, I'll have 2 broadcasts on Friday and 3 broadcasts, or 2 or 3 broadcasts on Saturday. And then after Christmas, to be honest with you, one of my favorite times of year is once Christmas is over. That week between Christmas and New Year's, often get a chance to go over to the Green Bay area for a fantastic hockey tournament, the Showdown in Titletown. But one of the best parts of my job is seeing these young people succeed. These young people work hard, have opportunities, whether it's on stage, whether it's on the court, whether it's on the ice. And I just want to encourage all of you, if you're staying in town this weekend, there's opportunities. There are boys and girls basketball tournaments going on. I'll be over at Wausau West both Friday night and Saturday night. Got Wausau West, Newman Catholic, Northern Pines, and Stanley Boyd competing in the Turkey Shoot basketball tournament. But there are other tournaments around Central Wisconsin as well. If you have an opportunity to spend just a few bucks, and the price is so much better. I mean, you can have you, your spouse, a couple of kids all go to a basketball game, or multiple basketball games in this case, for less than what it costs just one person to go and see a movie. Because between the ticket and then the very expensive beverages and snacks, you're spending a whole lot of money. For the entertainment value and for what you're doing for your community, I just would encourage you to go out and see some of these local performances, whether it's in a theater or whether it's in a gym or a hockey arena. You're really missing out if you don't. And tonight, in fact, I got our first Wausau West Warrior High School girls basketball broadcast, and it's a terrific game. I think that if you're looking for something that's going to be well worth the price of admission, tonight at the Westfield House, the Warriors take on Neenah. Neenah features one of the top players in the state of Wisconsin. It's really a junior guard, Ali Zabel, and had a chance to see her play in the postseason last year when West played Neenah. And she scored 33 points in the second half alone, scored 43 points for the game. She broke the Neenah all-time scoring record before the end of her sophomore year. She is a fantastic player. Neenah ranked third. Wausau West got a terrific team as well. Two-time defending conference champions, ranked number 12 in the preseason poll in Division I. So, again, if you can't join me on the radio tonight starting at 7 o'clock, come on over to the Wausau West Fieldhouse, and it will be well worth the price of admission, especially if you got a young girl in your family. I think a chance to see some of the best high school girls basketball players, not only in the area, but in the state tonight. And I think probably make a new fan as well. Got to take a break, and we're going to come back with more. It's coming up on 2:13. It's a Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, joined former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. This Wednesday, we'll talk high school boys and girls basketball. We'll also preview the high school hockey season that begins this week and special guests. At 6:40, we'll be joined by Merrill High School girls basketball coach Mike DeBorg as the Blue Jays off to a solid start this season. And then at 7 p.m., it's our student athlete guest from Wausau West. We'll be joined by their outstanding football quarterback and boys basketball player, Vince Hans. It's the Big High School Sports Show this Wednesday and every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Pleasant Tuesday. Feels like a Thursday, doesn't it, because of the short work week with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up. Feels like Thursday, and then tomorrow will be like Friday, but mostly cloudy skies right now. Some clouds have been moving in. 34 degrees in Wausau, wind chill factor of 28 currently. The time is 2:17. Earlier today, hope you were tuned in to the Todd Alba show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Todd just started up his show about a week and a half ago from 8 until 11 a.m. And while he was on the air, he broke the story about how the University of Wisconsin Richland Center campus, which is right now basically UW-Platteville at Richland Center, the UW system has ordered UW-Platteville to shift its instructional programs away from its Richland Center campus starting next year as enrollment has hit an all-time low. And Todd talked about the fact that it's very close to his heart, that Richland Center campus, because he went to school there. And also his grandmother, I believe it was, is one of the founders of that school. And it also hits a little close to me because the UW Center system was a big part of my life after I graduated high school. I went to DC Everest, graduated back in 1989, and after that, wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was, you know, I think one of those late bloomers in terms of trying to figure out what the transition from youth to adulthood would be. And I spent a couple of years at the University of Wisconsin at Marathon County and had experiences and met people that really formed me, my future, and where I am today. It was really two of the best years of my life to be able to experience opportunities there that I would not have gotten at, I think, a bigger campus. And back then, it was a very bustling campus. A lot of folks who went to Everest or Wausau West or Wausau East or other Newman Catholic or other schools here in the area would be able to save some money, be able to live at home for those couple of years before transferring. And that's what I did. I went to UW-Eau Claire, graduated, came back to this area, started my radio career, and outside of a couple of bumps in the road over the years, I've been basically pretty much in this business ever since then. But again, it's always been something that was very close to my heart. And back, how many years ago has it been? I'm going to look back here at the records. Back since 2018, so it's been about 4 or 5 years now, when the University of Wisconsin system shifted their two-year campuses basically to merge with its four-year universities. They put UW-Marathon County and UW-Marshfield under the UWSP umbrella. And throughout the state, the four-year campuses, all of a sudden, they basically merged the two-year campuses within their system. To be honest with you, I don't know how much that's changed what happens here at UWMC. In fact, after reading this story earlier today about the Richland Center campus, I plan on reaching out to some folks at UWSP at Wausau, talk to them about how things are going there. And the stories are different. Going back to the Richland Center, because I don't want to indicate in any way that things are not going well at UWSP at Wausau, because in fact, I saw a story that said that in the last year or so that the enrollment at UWSP at Wausau has actually gone up slightly. So some schools in the centers have gone down, others have gone up. The whole reason for the merging is that enrollment went down significantly in the years before 2017, 2018, when this merger occurred. In fact, at the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County, there was a student population decline of 51% between 2010 and 2017. I mean, that's hard to believe. I mean, it was such a, again, vibrant campus when I was going to school there in the early 1990s, and to see basically half of its enrollment go down in that seven-year span. And it was not just UWMC. It was other University of Wisconsin centers throughout the state that led to this ultimate merger with the four-year universities. And while schools like UWSP at Wausau have maintained their enrollment in the last couple of years, UW-Richland and UW-Platteville at Richland Center, enrollment, in fact, been dipping and dipping hard. In fact, this year hit an all-time low. And earlier today, the UW system's president, Jay Rothman, outlined a four-step plan for the Richland Center campus, which includes moving all instructional programs to either the Platteville or Baraboo campuses for fall 2023, while developing a plan to maintain a suitable presence in the Richland County campus through such things as enrichment programs or courses for adults. The Richland Center campus enrolled just 60 students this fall, the smallest of all two-year branch campuses. And to put that into perspective, I mean, enrollment has plummeted in the last 8 years since 2014. There were 567 students enrolled at Richland Center back in 2014. So again, 60 students, you can actually understand why the UW system felt the need to have to make this change. Rothman, in a letter today, acknowledged UW-Platteville's good faith effort to stabilize enrollment, noting that these efforts have not worked. He also said in this statement today that while the UW system remains committed to the branch campuses and to providing as broad of access for students as possible, there comes a time when financial pressure and low enrollment makes in-person degree-level academic instruction no longer tenable. The majority of the two-year branch campuses are seeing declines in enrollment. Most have been decreasing since the mid-2010s, if not earlier. Despite the decreases in enrollment, all other two-year schools have three-digit enrollment numbers, with UW-Platteville at Baraboo having the second smallest enrollment at 216. So, again, it's just a situation. I do not see any of this impacting what we have here in Marathon County at the UWSP at Wausau campus. As I said, looking at the latest numbers, I have some of these right here. The UWSP at Wausau campus has seen a small growth, in fact, this past spring. Actually, UWSP at Wausau this past spring had an enrollment gain of 22 students, or 5.1%, over the spring of 2021. So, again, it's sort of dodging the trend when it comes to these two-year campuses. But the bottom line is, again, I plan on reaching out, trying to get somebody in studio here to talk about what the current health is at the UWSP at Wausau campus. But the bottom line is, as I've said, I think it's an important option for students here in Marathon County. It's very important. Some students, in terms of just for the cost factor, as I said, I mean, it saved me. We hear a lot. We hear about student debt. It was a big issue during the course of the previous campaign. But by staying home for a couple of years, going to school, basically, and even when I first started at UW Marathon County, I would take public transportation. I would take the city bus because back then I lived in Schofield and there was actual public transportation. It could take me right from basically where I lived right to campus and back until I had a couple of fortunate friends who then were able to drive me as well before I got my first vehicle. But the bottom line was that I was able to save quite a bit of money, not go into the kind of student debt that many students have to if they're going to school for 4 or 5 years. It cut basically my away from home college education costs almost in half. I did have to take some loans out to go to UW Eau Claire, but in the end, I was able to fairly quickly, despite working in the radio business, which is not the most high-paying business that you can find, I was still able to pay off my student debts completely and rather quickly. So again, just having the option of these two-year campuses, and I need to say as well, the instruction, and I'm certain that under the UW-Stevens Point umbrella, it's continued this way, but the instruction that I received at UW-Marathon County was as good as it was at the four-year campus in Eau Claire, which I thought was fantastic as well. But the professors and the instruction that I received in taking some of the basic classes everybody needs to take in order to earn their four-year degree, the instruction and the talent level of the of the staff at UW Marathon County at the time, back in the early 1990s, was fantastic. So, again, I just found it to be an interesting story. I was here, you know, prepping my show here today. I had Todd Alba on my radio at my desk in my office, and he brought it up as this story broke just a few hours ago about UW Platteville at Richland Center forcing to close their campus. And when he talked about the fact that he went there, that his family was part of the launching of that campus many years ago, I think a lot of folks started their academic careers at a two-year campus around Wisconsin. And the changes that occurred about 5 years ago was one thing. And now to see one of these two-year campuses actually shut down is also something that, for those of us who had a real deep connection to the two-year campus, it's something that really stands out. We have to take a break. We're going to get a news update here coming up. We'll get a look at our civic media news update from the Civic Media Newsroom and also an AP national and international news update as well. I'm Chad Holmes with you each and every weekday until 4 p.m. And also don't forget tomorrow night on Wednesdays. It's always a busy day. I'm here from 2 to 4 and also from 6 to 8 for the big high school sports show. And tomorrow night we will be joined by Merrill High School girls basketball coach Mike DeBoer. He'll be joining us at 6:40 and at 7 o'clock, Vince Hans from Wausau West. He was the outstanding quarterback during the fall, and he's also a member of the Wausau West boys basketball team that tips off their season coming up on Friday night. So Mike DeBoer from Merrill, girls basketball at 6:40, Vince Hans from Wausau West football and basketball at 7 o'clock. Me and Jeff Gress every Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. Big high school sports show right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 2:34 here on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, middle of a holiday week. Weather-wise, for those folks hitting the road early, not bad at all. In fact, we've seen very dry conditions, plenty of sunshine. Expect a high near 37 before all is said and done today. Light winds as well, just 5 to 7 miles per hour. Tonight, still partly cloudy, some patchy fog after 5 a.m., a low of 17. Wednesday, patchy fog between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny, a high near 41. And then looking ahead for Thanksgiving on Thursday, mostly cloudy, a high near 43 degrees. Friday, sunny skies and 40, mostly sunny Saturday and 45. Sunday, mostly cloudy, 37. So basically, for any travel that we have here in the next few days, right through the holiday weekend, should not be any issues. Also, of course, deer hunting is still going on. Deer hunting season has started. And with the snow on the ground, that helps the deer hunters. In fact, off to a good start are the hunters so far. Hunters killed 14% more deer during this year's nine-day gun season's opening weekend than in 2021, largely due to the snow cover that made hunting easier, according to state wildlife officials. The Department of Natural Resources released today some data that shows hunters registered 103,623 deer over the weekend. That compares with 90,023 deer during last year's opening weekend. The annual average opening weekend harvest from 2017 to 2021, right around where we were this, we're slightly above average. That five-year average was 102,347. What's interesting is the higher kill total came despite far fewer hunters in the woods this past weekend. In fact, total sales of DNR hunting licenses that allow hunters to use firearms to kill deer stood at 539,550 as of midnight Sunday, which is down about 2% from the 551,809 at the same point during the opening weekend last year. DNR wildlife biologist Jeff Pritzel said that snow cover helped hunters spot and track deer. Some animals were still in the rut, which led to deer moving. There were some sad news to report over the weekend. We mentioned yesterday one fatality, but agency officials reported 6 firearm-related injuries, including 1 fatality. A 41-year-old man was shot and killed. As I said yesterday, a 41-year-old man shot and killed an 11-year-old boy on Sunday while he was trying to unload his gun in the back seat of a vehicle in Green Lake County. The man and boy were members of the same hunting party. Also on Sunday, a 33-year-old man shot himself in the finger while manipulating a handgun in Forest County. He was treated for the injury and survived. 4 other incidents took place on Saturday. A 22-year-old man was hunting in Sauk County when he was shot in the leg during a drive. DNR officials said a 20-year-old man shot him while firing at a running deer. Both men were part of the same hunting party. And in Marquette County, a 16-year-old boy shot a 69-year-old woman. The boy was hunting from a ground blind when he fired at a deer. The bullet flew across a pond and hit the woman. Both the boy and the woman were part of the same hunting party. And in Iowa County, a 15-year-old boy shot himself in the foot while he was unloading his gun while sitting in the passenger seat of a truck. And in Oneida County, a 24-year-old man shot himself in the foot. He was repairing his rifle sling when his hand froze to the weapon. As he tried to free his hand, he hit the trigger and the gun went off. DNR officials recorded 12 incidents during the entirety of last year's 9-day season. The state has averaged about 6 incidents every year over the last decade. The 9-day gun season ends on Sunday, this Sunday, November the 27th. Also came across today, earlier today, that the networks, finally, what is it, the 22nd? So 2 weeks after Election Day, finally, the networks announced that we have a winner in the Wisconsin Secretary of State race. And Doug LaFollette earns yet another term. Not easy for Doug LaFollette, but he was able to narrowly edge Amy Loudenbeck. I know this may be a little bit off what many liberals have been talking about during the course of this campaign, but I do think there has to be some sort of change with the Secretary of State. That office should not be strictly being put in a basement and putting the stamp of the Secretary of State's office on documents. I'm not saying that the Secretary of State should be put in charge of the elections like some of the Republicans were hoping to do should Loudermilk win that election. But at the same time, to have this statewide election, have this money spent on a statewide election for a role that right now is basically just stamping documents. I mean, stamp this document. There has to be, I think, a coming together. And when you look at the history of the Secretary of State office here in Wisconsin, it hasn't always been like this. In fact, when you go back to the Tommy Thompson administration, we had Doug LaFollette on this program. And he said back when he was serving under Governor Thompson took some of the power. Whenever a governor is in office, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, they're going to try and take a little bit more power. And Tommy Thompson, during his 4 terms in office in the governorship, stripped away some of the power from the Secretary of State, took it closer to the governor's office. And ultimately, the Secretary of State's office has become basically just a figurehead. And we don't need figureheads. It either should be an office that has something important to do, or we should get rid of the office. I think that at this rate, if it's basically just in the basement of the Capitol, putting the stamp of the state of Wisconsin on these documents, somebody else could do it. There has to be, I think, a more complete role. Could there be a role for the Secretary of State on the Election Commission? I don't know. I mean, I have not looked into that, but maybe there could be a role somewhere. Be part of that. Be, you know, have an elected official that's part of that, but not running it where one person could decide to overturn the results of an election. It's just very interesting that this is a very close election. And again, it comes down to, I think, a lot of Republicans who are going to vote Republican in this office, and a lot of Democrats who are going to vote Democratic in that office as well. But in the end, Doug LaFollette, and I like to think that because he appeared on this program, that was enough to get him over the finish line some 2 weeks after the voting ended back on the 8th of November. Speaking of the La Follettes, it was interesting. Last night, after I got done here, I went and stopped over at Marathon Park, watched some hockey practice with the Wausau West Warriors as they get set for their season opener coming up on Friday. And then I went home and I was making my dinner, and I also was flipping around, just seeing what was on TV around 7 o'clock. And on the Wisconsin Channel, one of the PBS stations here in Wisconsin, on the Wisconsin Channel, they had a repeat of the American Experience documentary on McCarthy. Joe McCarthy, most infamous United States senator in Wisconsin history. A guy that I think is probably the one and only U.S. senator that would rank below Senator Ron Johnson in my rankings at this point. But that's here nor there. But I was watching that. I was watching the documentary on McCarthy. And did you know Joe McCarthy first got elected to office? He was he went to Little Wolf High School in Manawa. He was an Appleton native. When he died, he was buried, had the funeral in Appleton. He was first elected as a judge, and then in 1946, he ran for the U.S. Senate. And do you recall who the senator from Wisconsin was in 1946? La Follette. Robert La Follette, not Fighting Bob La Follette, but the son, Robert La Follette Jr. When Fighting Bob La Follette passed away in the mid-1920s, his son took the seat and then was reelected. It was an interesting story because after watching this, I went back and I was doing some research on Bob La Follette Jr. And he went back and forth between the Progressive Party and the Republican Party. He actually won election as a progressive in 1940 and in 1934. He had been a Republican, I believe, in 1928. And then in 1946, the Progressive Party was disbanded in Wisconsin, and he ran as a Republican. And running as a Republican as well was Joseph McCarthy. And Bob La Follette Jr. basically stayed in Washington during the primary campaign. He made one trip to Wisconsin to campaign. That was it. Well, Joe McCarthy actually was a very active campaigner, and he went around the state, and he also sent personalized postcards asking for the vote. And I think a lot of candidates don't realize the power of that simple request. May I have your vote? If you don't ask for the vote, very often you won't get the vote. And you have to ask in a very nice way. And I'll say this, according to that documentary, Joe McCarthy did it in a nice way. He sent a hand, you know, he wrote it out himself. Would you please consider voting for me? And in the end, it was a very, very, very close primary election. And American history was changed because Joe McCarthy won the primary. And then he won the general election and became the junior senator from Wisconsin. And he was a very quiet senator until 1950, when he made that famous speech in West Virginia when he claimed that he had evidence of a couple of hundred communists in the State Department. And then the story continued. But one of the aspects that I kind of came across while just researching, because that's one of the great things about history, because when you learn something, you want to find out more. And I, you know, you know a lot about Fighting Bob La Follette, but you don't know as much about his son, Bob La Follette Jr. And I did not know Bob La Follette Jr. committed suicide. 7 years after that, 1953, Bob La Follette Jr. committed suicide. And I was not able to dig up a lot of information on what led to one of the most famous names in Wisconsin to end his life by his own hand. One of Bob La Follette Jr.'s sons, Bronson La Follette, went on to serve multiple terms as Wisconsin's Attorney General right into the 1980s. So actually, I remember when Bronson La Follette was the Attorney General. But just interesting. Again, one aspect on this program as we continue, as I continue to build this program, that I want to do is talk about history, talk about what it all means. And there's going to be, I'm going to play a piece of audio that I heard in that documentary, American Experience documentary on Joe McCarthy, that was said by Dwight David Eisenhower, the president of the United States at the time. I want to play a little bit of, in because it comes back to something that is happening today in the United States and today in Wisconsin. And in fact, today in Marathon County, we talked about the budget debate for the Marathon County Board. And one of the issues was library funding. And I want to play something that Dwight Eisenhower said back in 1953 or 54 after we take a quick break. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO. And also, make sure you download the Civic Media app. Get that as soon as you can. On Tuesday night, the Wausau West High School girls basketball team faces Nina in a showdown of ranked teams. The Warriors are ranked number 12 in the state in Division I, while Nina comes in at number 3. Hear all the exciting action on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Starting with pregame show at 7 p.m. and the opening tip at 7:15. Wausau West Warrior High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbell Credit Union, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Wausau West Athletic Department, and Sun Printing. It's Wausau West versus Nina in high school girls basketball. Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 7 p.m. on your home for Wausau West sports. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Some clouds out there, 34 degrees in Wausau on this Tuesday. Thanksgiving week, yep, 2 days away from Thanksgiving Thursday. If you're traveling, take a little extra time. Great weather forecast in terms of what to expect for the entirety of the Thanksgiving weekend. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on here on the program. Was talking in the last segment about a number of things, and I finished up talking about a documentary I watched last night. And it's always fun when you kind of trip over something. I didn't know, you know, I got home. I'm just, you know, ready to make some dinner after a long day. And I'm checking out what's on television and came across on the Wisconsin Channel the documentary from the American Experience on Joseph McCarthy. And McCarthy, I mean, there's so many issues with Joe McCarthy during the Red Scare of the early 1950s. But one of the things that he and Roy Cohn, and real quickly, again, why is history important? Roy Cohn sat next to Joe McCarthy at all these hearings during the early 50s. Cohn was an evil man. And then, you know what Roy Cohn did? He kept reinventing himself year after year after year. He would have famous people wrapped around his finger, such as Barbara Walters, of all people. And he became Donald Trump's personal attorney from 1973 until Cohn died in the mid-1980s. They were exceptionally tight. And many, many, many watchers of Donald Trump feel like Roy Cohn from the grave basically put Donald Trump in the White House. Roy Cohn taught Donald Trump the worst of Roy Cohn. And, you know, you go back to the 1950s, early 50s, 1950 itself, to the very present day of 2022, and there's a direct line from the McCarthy hearings to where we stand in this country today. Don't tell me history is not important. History is vitally important. Vital. But here in Marathon County recently, there's been some controversy. In fact, just last Thursday, almost two weeks ago Thursday, the Marathon County Board passed its budget for 2023. And one of the areas there was contention was the library budget. There were some conservatives who wanted to make a major cut to the library budget because they did not like the way that the library's been handling some complaints about books they want removed. Well, removing and destroying books was a major factor back in the Red Scare. And one man who knew about freedom better than all these folks on the right who are talking about freedom these days, the liberator of Europe during World War II, and then later the president of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower. And during the height of the Red Scare, during the height of book burning, here's what Dwight Eisenhower said on this subject in a clear rebuke of Joe McCarthy, Roy Cohn, and the Red Scare.
Don't join the book burners. Don't think you're going to conceal faults by concealing evidence that they ever existed. Don't be afraid to go in your library and read every book. As long as any document does not offend our own ideas and of decency, that should be the only censorship.
Don't join the book burners club, says Dwight Eisenhower. Got that clip from the Dwight Eisenhower Presidential Library website. And that's one of the things that's been so disconcerting recently. Issues such as the anti-Semitism that's risen exponentially in this country. The idea of banning books. The idea of fascism becoming the in thing. I mean, there is so much history that's being ignored right now. We see what happens in these situations. And yet, it's coming again. And the idea that this can't happen here, it can happen here. So again, that's why when you have an opportunity, watch real documentaries. I'm not a big fan of the History Channel and their All Hitler All the Time channel. The PBS documentaries I find to be so straightforward and so important and so much you learn from it. Not only what happened in the past, but what it means today and in the future as well. And I was really happy to have come across that McCarthy biography documentary last night on the Wisconsin Channel. We're going to find out what's going on around the country and around the world. CBS News at the top of the hour coming up here in just a moment. And then after that, we'll take a look at the weather forecast and have another hour still to come. An interesting story came out earlier today over at DC Everest. I'll talk about that coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.